school year has ended. And I did want to say thank you to our staff. The Lord's just consistently given us a wonderful group of people here. And they're a fun group to work with and a hard-working group. One of the things that I never have to do is motivate them to get things done. They're just a very conscientious group, and I appreciate their work and their consistency in really making ministry a priority and serving people. And so our preschool staff and academy staff have just done a wonderful job with that, and I really appreciate the things that they have done to make the school year successful, but really to reach out to people as much or more than anything else, not just to have a good year and that we made it through, but really make it a ministry. And so I appreciate them. We've been studying through Corinthians and specifically coming to this place in 2 Corinthians where we're talking about reconciliation. And it begins with that passage at the end of chapter 4 that talks about the fact that we need to have the eternal perspective, realizing that there are temporary things and there are eternal things. And if we get focused on the temporary things, we will find ourselves missing out on the things that are eternal and really not prepared for the things that are eternal. And so we want to make sure that we don't do that. As believers, we have already considered some of the things that God has told us about eternity, and so we're excited about what He's told us. Now, we've already taken the time to look at verse 18, and let's read that verse so to make sure that we lay the groundwork here. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "All things are of or from God, who has reconciled us to Himself through or by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And if you look on the screen behind me, you'll see that this is the layout for the next few verses. And that is that he said all these things are from God. And he's talking about all the things he's been talking about. All these things are from God. Who? And then he mentions two things. Number one, God reconciled us to Himself through Christ. This is how you and I can have a right relationship with God. It is only and exclusively through Jesus Christ. And so here is the first thing that he wants to make sure that you understand. The reconciliation with God is available, is an opportunity you have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to explain that more. And so on Sunday evenings, we started looking at the exchange and the fact that we have the opportunity to tell people what is in verse 21 of this chapter, and that is that He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm exchanging my sin for Christ's righteousness. And so I can have Christ's righteousness. He will take my sin. There's a wonderful exchange that takes place. And it comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He is who He said He is and that He has done what He said He did. And so here's number one, God reconciled us to Himself through Christ. But then there's number two, and God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So you and I have the ministry of reconciliation. Now, last week we looked at the fact that He has entrusted that to us. This is something of great value that He has given you. He said, "I've given you this message, this gospel message, and I've entrusted it to you. And having entrusted it to you, I want you now to be in the ministry of reconciliation." It is at that point that we come to verse 20. And so if you'll look at that with me, please, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. It says, "Now then," or "therefore," "now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, we beg you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Here is a wonderful passage telling us how God sees us now that we are believers. Here's how God looks at us. Here's the position that He says you are in once you've come to this place where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so when we come to this verse, "therefore" is the idea. Therefore, based upon all of these things, we are ambassadors for Christ. And an ambassador has a message as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And you'll notice again that as we often do, especially when we're looking at verses in detail, this verse has three parts and has three ideas, and really it's from the perspective of God looking at you as a believer and saying, okay, now that you're a believer, here's what I would like you to do. Here's how I would like you to represent me. Here's what I want you to accomplish on my behalf. I want you to be an ambassador for me. You know, probably one of the most memorable ambassadorial stories that we have, and it's a tragic story, is something that many of you will remember very well, still prominent because of the presidential election. On September 11th, 2012, in Libya, our embassy, the United States Embassy, was attacked by Islamists. And in the process of that attack, they killed an American diplomat, a Foreign Service information agent named Sean Smith, and they also killed the United States Ambassador Christopher Stevens. And in the process of doing that, this is the first ambassador that was killed in the United States since 1979 in a terrorist attack or in some kind of attack like that. Prior to that, there was an ambassador named Adolf Dubs that was killed in Kubal in a kidnapping attempt, and he was caught in the crossfire and was shot. But here is our ambassador, and he was killed by people who were attacking our embassy. Now, I want to stay away from the political ramifications of that. I know some of you immediately will go to, I'm mad over that. But let's stay away from that for just a moment. Here's the point of that. When that ambassador was killed, you and I, by a sense of understanding of what an ambassador does, say, hey, wait a minute, they just attacked the United States of America. We have an intuitive understanding of what an ambassador is. This past week, Maxwell, sitting in the back there, Maxwell is going on the trip with us to Israel and Jordan, and late in the process, there was a realization that his requirements to get into the country were different from a person who holds a U.S. passport. And so we did a ton of work beforehand, and finally on Thursday, Mr. Sarder took Maxwell and his mom, and they went down to the Israeli embassy. And they had to go into the Israeli embassy and ask permission from them, get a visa from them for him to go into the country. Because that embassy on Embassy Row in Washington, D.C. is the representation of Israel within the borders of the United States of America. And within that embassy is an ambassador. It is the person who speaks on behalf of the Israeli government to the United States of America. And here in this passage, he talks to us and he gives us, from God's perspective, the title. And really, it's not simply the title, it's the job that God expects his people to do within the borders of this earthly realm. I want you to be my ambassador. And the fact is that if we look at Christians by and large, now I'm thrilled we have a number of people here for whom this would not hold true. But many times when we think of Christianity at large, we think of people who are very inattentive ambassadors for Christianity. By inattentive, it's as though they pay no attention to the fact that they are speaking for God in a foreign country. They are speaking on behalf of Christ to people who don't know Him. People who are not in the kingdom of heaven, not in the kingdom of God. And I'm supposed to be His representative, and people are very inattentive to the responsibilities they have as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so I want you this morning to understand your position from God's perspective. How does God see you? Well, in this verse, these three phrases that come out of the verse will help us understand exactly what God sees when He looks at us and when He thinks of us as an ambassador. The first of these phrases is actually very simple. If we're to break it down, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. And then He says, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Well, what is it that He's saying to us in each of these? Well, here's number one. He's saying, you are an ambassador for Christ. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ. Well, I think the first thing then to do, and I had to do this for my own study, was to do a little investigation as to exactly what are the responsibilities of an ambassador. Well, I went back further than most of you would go, and I did a little study. What's the original word? And it is actually connected to a word that talks about church government. It's something that has its roots in that. But if you went back in the times of early years, it would be called a legate. But that is what we would know today as an ambassador. A European legate was somebody who went and represented the government somewhere else. And so it's the same idea as an ambassador. Well, what does an ambassador do? He is one that is supposed to be a respected official that represents another country, another nation within the borders of a foreign country. And this man, appointed by the leadership, is given authority to actually speak on behalf of that country. And as he speaks on behalf of that country, he is to reflect the official position of the sovereign body that gave him authority. Now, I want you to remember these things because these things are important. So, the Israeli embassy, the Israeli ambassador, is not to sit in his office and think, what do I want to say? That is not his position at all. The position of the ambassador is very specifically to speak on behalf of, to reflect the official position of the sovereign body who gave him his authority. And so, if he's asked a question about something, he would either answer that, having already discussed and knowing the people that he's representing, or he would say, I have to give you an answer to that when I talk to the president. Or I talk to the leader of my country. And so he would leave and he would perhaps pick up the phone and he would call back to the prime minister of his country and he would say, here's the question, how do you want me to answer that? He would get the answer, he would come back, and he would deliver that answer. He is not to make up the answers on his own. He's not to decide what he wants to do. Now, he can make decisions and answer questions based upon what he knows about his country and based upon what he's already been told. He can answer questions and he can make decisions that he think will reflect what his country would want him to do, but he can't just make it up on his own. He can't just decide what the country believes. He has to come in there and do his best to represent that country. And his objective is to build relationships and develop policies that favor both the host country and his home country so that he can have good relations between those two countries. And he's a link between this country and that country. He is the one who is speaking on behalf of those people. And the truth is that he at times has to walk a fine line. Because he lives in one country, yet he's responsible to another country. And so here he is living in one country, and this country has laws and customs that he may not be used to, and the country that he comes from may have laws and customs that this country is not used to. And so while he's over here living in this country with the laws and customs that he's responsible to keep back here, but he's in the country where they have different laws and customs, you see how it becomes a very fine line. And I think of somebody like Chris Stevens that was an ambassador in Libya, or an ambassador that would be in an Islamic country. Maybe this person comes from the United States and some, I hope, have an understanding of biblical Christianity. And they're living as an ambassador for the United States and having a Christian background and they're being dropped in a country with a Muslim core. Boy, you see how there's a fine line that you have to walk. You have to have respect for those people, yet you have an obligation to speak on behalf of your country. You can't ignore the laws of your country. You can't ignore the responsibilities given to you by the leadership of your country. You are respecting the laws and customs of the host, but you cannot violate the laws and customs and the orders of the country that sent you. That's what an ambassador is. And you see, an ambassador can be a wonderful post. But sometimes it can be a post where you have a lot of difficult decisions to make, and it can be a very trying position. When we think of an ambassador, you know, I wouldn't mind being an ambassador to some place that we have a great relationship. Maybe go to Australia. I've always wanted to go there. If they'd send me to be an ambassador there for a little while, I'd be all right with that. Maybe Switzerland. I'd like to see the Swiss Alps. Maybe I could go over to England and spend a little more time there. I wouldn't mind that. But boy, going into a country where we're at odds with those people. I've read some things, you know, from World War II. I've mentioned that. And to be an emissary to Germany right before war broke out and try to deal with those people when there's war that's coming. Boy, that's what we're up against when we think of being an ambassador for Christ. It's not always a pleasant situation. It's sometimes a relationship that's on the verge of war. And if you read the end, you know that eventually Satan is going to declare war on Christians and he's going to declare war on God. He's going to lose. But boy, we're ambassadors in a country that doesn't like us very well. Well, we're going to talk more about that, but I want you to get the rest of this verse. If you look at the second phrase, it says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us." When God looks at us, He says, "I see you, the believer, as an ambassador. I also see you as a conduit. I also see you as one through whom I'm going to send messages." When I think of conduit, I often think of something that you use to run electrical wire through or something that you'll put in the ground just to run something else through. I've tried to do that some at my house. I have a couple of places where I've run conduit from my house to other places in order to run power there. But a conduit is simply a pipe. And the pipe in itself is not what is being delivered. The conduit is delivering something else. And when He looks at us, He says, "Not only are you an ambassador, but I see you as the conduit through which I'm going to deliver a message." As though God was making an appeal through us. And so it is God making His appeal, and we're the conduit for that. I'm the ambassador, and I'm to speak His words. I'm the one who's to deliver the message that God has given. I'm the one who's to deliver the message about reconciliation. He said, "I want you to be the one who is the conduit through which this message is delivered." God looks at you as a believer and He says, "I see you as my ambassador and I see you as my conduit. I see you as the one through whom I'm going to deliver the message." Let's look at the third one as well. There's a third phrase there. We are ambassadors through Christ or for Christ. And the last phrase of this says, "We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Now, there's a difference between a piece of conduit that I take, and usually the gray, and I dig a trench in the ground, and I bury that conduit and glue it together, and then one end has an opening where I can put a piece of wire or whatever in, and I can snake it through there. The fact is that the conduit in that sense, it doesn't care what goes through it. It doesn't have any feelings. It doesn't have any decision. It doesn't have anything to do with it. And God looks at us and He says, "You know, I hope that's not true about you." When God looks at us, He says, "I want you to be an ambassador, but I want you to be impassioned about the message that you're delivering." Why would you be impassioned about the message that you're delivering? Because your reconciliation has aroused in you a burden for lost souls. You know, it's fun to deliver good news to somebody. It's fun to be the one that walks up and says, "Hey, you've won $1 million. All right. But here we are as a conduit, and I'm excited about the message that I can deliver to people. My reconciliation has awakened in me a passion for lost souls." And so when Paul is writing this, he doesn't write it and say, "We're disconnected with the message." He writes it and he says, God looks at you and He says, "You're my ambassador. You are my representative. You are the one that is going to tell people what I want them to hear. And so you're my ambassador. You're the conduit through which I'm going to speak to people." And the real tragedy is that if Christians don't get that, God is going to struggle to get His message across because He said, I want you to be the one who delivers the message. You are the conduit. And you can't just deliver it in an unfeeling, robotic way. You can't walk up to people and go, okay, God says you're going to die and go to hell if you don't trust Christ. Okay, delivered my message. No, when Paul says this, he says, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, please be reconciled to God. It's not an impassioned plea. This is Paul saying, I did what I'm talking about. And when I was reconciled, I realized what I've longed for. I realized what I needed. I realized the emptiness that I had, the losing battle that I was fighting. And when I finally understood on the Emmaus Road that Jesus Christ was not in the grave, He was in heaven and He spoke to me, I said, okay, that's who Christ is. He's a risen Savior. He acknowledged Him for who He was. And when Paul understood what Christ had done and he was reconciled to God, he said, this is wonderful. And over you can read Paul's writings and he says, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness of our sins. We're reconciled to Him. We can come into His presence and cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. We can pray. We have God's blessing on our lives. We have a promise of eternity. We have a promise of heaven. And when I talk to people now, I'm not talking to them in a robotic way, disconnected from the message. I'm telling you this is something that I want you to get. He's not talking just about me. He's talking about you. If you've been reconciled to God and you really understand what that means, He's saying, I've appointed you then as my ambassador. I've appointed you as the one that is the conduit through which my message will be delivered. And I'm looking for you to be impassioned about the way that you deliver that message. I'm looking for you to come at it with some heart. And when Paul spoke of this, he said, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You need to understand who He is and what He did. And look, I did this, and you need to do this as well. And so when he comes to this place, he said, I want you to understand that you have this wonderful position as an ambassador for Christ. You have this wonderful position that you are my representative on earth. Kim Ludwig made this for me. Department of Eternal Affairs. Douglas Wright Ambassador. I am an ambassador for Christ no matter where I go. You could put your name and your mugshot on there. But you're an ambassador for Christ. Regardless of where you go, you have this job that God has given you. An ambassador never takes off his ambassadorial role. He has to be a conscientious ambassador. When the Apostle Paul was talking about this, there are some things that you have to realize about his ambassadorship that are different from the normal ambassadorship. If I were to be an ambassador for Christ, I would be a natural ambassador because if you sent me to another country, let's pick Australia. If you sent me to Australia as an ambassador, I can naturally tell people what the United States is like. Why? Because I was born here. I was born in West Virginia, but I was still the United States. And so I've seen the rest of the foreign country here, but I know about the United States. And so when I went when I go to Australia, I can represent the United States, what it is, and its core values and beliefs as much as possible. And if I were sent, I'd have to spend some time with the administration and say, okay, how do you want me to answer these certain issues that are going to come up with the Australian government? But I would need to be a conscientious ambassador. I would need to go over there, and I would need to be careful about what I do. But I would easily do that because I grew up in the country, and I can represent the country. A Christian is a little bit different. And he's different because Paul, for example, did not originate from the nation that he represents. You ever think about that? The Apostle Paul had to be adopted into the nation, the family or the nation which he was going to represent. He had to undergo a complete change of perspective. Whereas before he used to be a citizen of this earthly kingdom, of this world, he had to go through this change where he sees things now not as a citizen of this earth and of the earthly perspective and the things and developing power, but he has to go through this change where he sees things through the perspective of a citizen of the kingdom of God. He's talked about this. He said, we are new creatures in Christ. We're a new creation. I've had to be remade, and I've had to think completely differently than I used to think. I used to think when I was unsaved only about me and about my life, and I'd give a little, every once in a while a little thought to heaven and God and eternity, but really, life was here. But once I was saved, I had to get a different perspective. I had to start thinking about things from a heavenly perspective. I had to realize that I was under the supreme authority of God, and now I have to represent Him. And so he had to go through a complete change of perspective on matters. And he had to realize that his primary mission in life as an ambassador now was to be the conduit for a very specific message, and that's the message of reconciliation. But he's now in the ministry of reconciliation. That what he's doing now, whether he's out making tents, or whether he's traveling down the road, or whether he's sitting in a prison cell, he is in the ministry of reconciliation. And every time he comes in contact with people, he is now representing this country that he's been adopted into. This country through which he's taken some time to study the scripture and now get the perspective of God looking at mankind instead of his old perspective of man to man. And now he said, my primary objective is I want to spread this message of reconciliation. I want to be the conduit through which people understand that. In a way, when he's representing his nation, he is doing something far different even than I would be doing. If I were to go to Australia, and I would go out and I would look at Australians and say, okay, hey, I'm here as an ambassador. You know what I'm trying to do? I want you to renounce your citizenship in Australia, and I want you to become a citizen of the United States of America. Ooh, really? Well, I'm not sure that that would go over very well. I'm pretty sure that the Australian government, even though we have a friendly relationship with them, I'm pretty sure that they would be on the phone and they would be calling the administration back here and say, hey, wait a minute, your guy is over here and he's trying to get people to renounce their citizenship in Australia and become citizens of the United States of America. Now think about what we're doing as ambassadors for Christ. Because that's what makes our job even more difficult. We are actually asking people to commit treason against the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of earth, and renounce their citizenship in earthly things and join the citizenship of heaven. Now, the big difference for us is that we're asking people to renounce citizenship in something that's going to send them to hell for eternity. When we're talking about Australia, there's not a problem with Australian citizenship. But I look at you and say, listen, if you stay a citizen of this earth, then when you're finished, you're still responsible for your sin. You're unreconciled to God. And the scripture says you'll be separated from Him for eternity. You need to renounce that citizenship. And I have a wonderful message that I have from my Creator. And as His ambassador, I'm the conduit through which I can say to you, you can be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, you're going to have to renounce your citizenship to earth. I'm asking people to commit treason. I'm asking people to do something that makes the rest of this world very uncomfortable. Because I want you to give your allegiance to the God who saved you. I want you to give up something that's going to destroy you. But I'm an ambassador, and I want you to give up something that is going to kill you for eternity. It's going to put you in misery for the rest of your life. And you see, you're able to follow in Paul's footsteps. He says, look, folks, I want you to change your citizenship. I want you to join the kingdom of God and renounce the kingdom of self. I want you to renounce that kingdom of self that's only focused on you and only focused on the temporal things. I want you to turn your eyes toward heaven. And I want you to see that there's a God who wants to be reconciled to you. And then as an ambassador, as a citizen of the different kingdom, I'm going to have to learn to live by the new standards of the king. And even though I'm temporarily away from my king, and temporarily, and you've got to see it that way, I'm temporarily away from the kingdom in which I'm going to spend eternity, I've got to remember that I'm an ambassador for that king. And I'm going to live by his standards. I've accepted the fact that this earth is not my home, that an eternal home awaits me. And if I am faithful, there are wonderful crowns that are going to be given to me at the judgment seat of Christ. And the fact is that even if I am imprisoned, even if I'm abused by my host country, I'm still an ambassador. I can't renounce my country. I can't renounce my citizenship in the kingdom. And it doesn't matter how my co-workers would say, what my co-workers would say. It doesn't matter what your neighbors say. It doesn't matter what some of your family, and some of you deal with all of those things. I'm an ambassador. And as an ambassador, I am responsible to spread the message that God has given me. And that message is a wonderful message that every person is welcome into the kingdom of God. We'd love to have you come. And I'm the conduit for that. I am the one that's responsible to deliver that message. We're ambassadors for Christ. As I was looking at this, I was reading about different ambassadors. And I went back and I was trying to find out exactly how many ambassadors have been killed in some kind of battle. I think it's 7, but I'm not at all sure about that number. But in researching, I found an interesting story. Early in the United States, did you know that Ben Franklin was actually our ambassador to France? Once I read that, I thought, you know, I think I heard that somewhere in history before, but I would have missed that on Jeopardy. But Ben Franklin was our ambassador to France in 1778 is when this was significant, but he was our ambassador in 1776 to France. And if you know a little bit of history, you know that the United States was at war, the American Revolution against Great Britain, and our ambassador to France at this crucial time in history was trying to develop some kind of relationship with France where they would join our side. And really nobody thought that that was going to happen, but Ben Franklin was a highly respected and admired man. He was especially admired by the members of the French high society. And so when he went over to France and he lobbied on the behalf of this young colonized state and this young group of people who were doing battle with Great Britain, he wanted to gain the support of the French. And finally, after much work, he was able to get them to sign a military alliance with these struggling colonies in 1778. And that's 2 years into the revolution beginning, the Revolutionary War beginning. And it was critical to these young colonies, to these struggling colonies. And Ben Franklin was very responsible for that. He was really the key to that being done. And it was believed that probably only Ben Franklin could have accomplished what most people in the colonies thought was an impossible feat. Here was a man who went to a country, and it was a country that didn't know a lot about us, a country that didn't have a great regard for Great Britain, but they weren't enemies of Great Britain so much. But finally, as an ambassador, he represented our country, and he got them on board, and it's probably a key to why we won the Revolutionary War. But what was interesting in that was that there was also another man that was assigned to help Ben Franklin with this. That man's name was John Adams. I didn't know this. John Adams, who became the second president, was assigned as an assistant to Franklin on this ambassadorial mission to France, and he was supposed to be helping him and working with him in all of this. But here's what it said. The French found Adams so distasteful that he was almost completely ignored. He was so bad at this job of being an ambassador to the French people that finally he left his assignment and he returned to the United States. Here are two different ambassadors, two different kinds of ambassadors. One man goes over and he knows the people and he's extremely effective with them. And he brings them to a place where they understand the message of the young colonies and what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish. And here's another man who was just ineffective. He was somebody who was distasteful to the people. And the result was he was completely ignored. Now look, you and I have that kind of choice. We have to decide what kind of ambassador we're going to be. And you need to be a conscientious ambassador. You need to be one who says, I'm going to represent God the best that I possibly can. I'm going out to work tomorrow and I'm going to work to make a living, but I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to go out maybe this evening. We're going to have church tonight. Maybe I'm going to go to the park and we're going to play soccer, but I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to be at a party this week and I'm an ambassador for Christ. Wherever you are, you're an ambassador. And when God sees you, those of you who are reconciled with Him, this is how God views you. This is how God looks at you. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. He sees you as an ambassador. He sees you as a conduit. And He wants you to be an impassioned deliverer of His message so that you can have the wonderful pleasure of seeing the success of people being won to Jesus Christ. But it will only happen when you see yourself the way God sees you. He has appointed you as an ambassador. And as I've often said, you will be an ambassador in places that I will never be. You are the ambassador there. You'll be the ambassador to some of the people you work with. You will be the ambassador to some of the people your kids play soccer with. You will be the ambassador in your neighborhood. You will be the ambassador and you fill in the place. You are His ambassador. The question is, are you a conscientious ambassador? Are you representing Him in a way that would please Him, in a way that represents His country well? Let's bow for prayer, please. Now, with our heads bowed and out of courtesy for those who are here, I'm going to ask you not to look at me for a moment, not to look at others. We finished our service last week with the same song that we're going to play this week. Lord, lay some soul upon that my heart and love that soul through me. But I trust this morning that you'll rethink the way you see yourself. If you're a believer, one who's been reconciled with God, God looks at you and says, you're my ambassador. Maybe you need to take that title seriously. You've gone from being an enemy to being an ambassador. From one who didn't know Him to one who knows Him, and now he wants to be a conduit through which he speaks to others. And you need to remember your responsibility before God. It'll change the way you do things. And I trust this morning that as we finish this service as a Christian, that you'll say, Lord, I'm thinking about my job as an ambassador, and I trust you and I want to serve you well. In a moment, we're going to finish our service as we do every week. We're going to stand and I'm going to ask those who are believers to say, Lord, here's what you've taught me from your word today, and here's how I'm going to respond. But maybe this morning there are some who would have to say, I'm not reconciled to God. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We want to show you how you can know for sure that you are on your way to heaven. And this morning, if that's you, I trust that you'll let us help you. In the back are Sherry and Todd Channel. And I pray that, or I ask you today, that if you have not trusted Christ, that you'd slip out of the pew and just make your way to the back. And we'd love to help you get that settled. You can have somebody come with you if you want. But we'd love to help you in any way that we can. Let's go ahead and stand together. Now, Father, as we're standing before you, we recognize that you've given us your word and that you've called us to be ambassadors. And Father, I pray you'll help us to be effective in that. Lord, help us to be people who represent you well and help us to be people who accomplish the things that you want us to accomplish. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's working. Now, with our heads bowed, as we play through this song, will you talk to the Lord and say, here's what you've taught me. If you need to talk to somebody about how to be reconciled, will you make your way to the back?